well. No. I knocked a glass of water over. So, I've got a puddle. Sounds like rain back here. No, I got it, I think. If you hear squishy sounds during the sermon, you'll know. Good morning. Just a couple words about the service this morning. See, my bulletin's a little wet. Okay. When we get to the Alleluia verse before the gospel reading, this is from Divine Service 4. We're not going to sing the verse part, I'm going to speak the verse that's actually assigned for today instead. But we will sing the Alleluia before it and after it, just so you're not confused when you see that place where you'll see. But we'll get there. All right. Okay. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join in reading responsibly the psalm for this morning. These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Who looks on the earth and it trembles. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him. Let sinners be consumed from the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, beginning with verse 4. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the children of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is the word of the Lord. He will command the angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from the book of James, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So, I have an extended version for y'all. I'm sorry I didn't read the first two sections there. So I'm going to read it now, the first two sections of that. The warning to the rich. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and on self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other condemnation. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. Salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Alleluia. 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 The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence you will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we heard in James about patience. You know what oxymorons are, right? Right, you know, like jumbo shrimp, a guy weighing 300 pounds being called tiny. Yeah. Or how about this? The waiting room of a doctor's office or in the hospital as being full of patients. Come on. Catch up with me here. Every one of us has been one of those places. All right, so patience is very important, especially as we wait for Christ's return. Sometimes we know even from Scripture, Scripture says it, and we know it from other people, that, gee, he's sure taking his time, isn't he? And we're reminded in Scripture that God is not slow, but is patient. He is long-suffering, it says, same thing as patient. Because why? He's waiting for, you know, those who have yet not heard the gospel. Jesus said the gospel would be preached in all of the world before his return. We live in these last days. We have, the church has been in these last days since the day Jesus, when he died on the cross, said, "It is finished." All that needed to take place for our salvation took place on that cross 2,000 years ago. Our sins were nailed on that cross with him. We receive our forgiveness from the work of our Lord Jesus. And now we wait. The apostles were exceedingly expectant that Jesus would start his kingdom. And indeed, he did, but not in the way they thought. They thought perhaps he would even return after he left, during their own lifetime, or at least one of them would still be alive, perhaps thinking of John, whom Jesus said he would be in prophecy, that he would be present when the Lord returns, if the Lord so desired. Patience. We are called to be patient as we wait for the Lord's return. We hear James talking about different things in the epistle for this morning. He talks a warning to the rich who have been unjust. He's not talking about all people who have wealth, but those who have used that wealth in order to gain more and more at the expense of the poor, the downtrodden, the worker, the laborer. You've done all kinds of things, and one day you will be called to account for that. And then James gets into the whole thing about being patient and looking ahead, perhaps looking back at the prophets of old and how they endured much, but were patient nevertheless, such as Job. Those are the examples we are given. And then James goes on to talk about the prayer of faith, or the prayer of the faithful, perhaps we could even say, because in that he mentions that the prayer of a righteous man, well, availeth much. He didn't come up with that himself, but that is taken from the Old Testament. We know that prayer is an important part of being patient. It helps us to be patient as we wait for the day of the Lord, when he returns and all of time is fulfilled, that is, the end of this world and the beginning of the new earth and the new heavens. It will be a glorious day for God's saints, so we need prayer. Prayer helps us. It helps us when we wonder in our own hearts, when, Lord, when are you coming again? Why are you taking so long? We pray for one another, as James says. Pray for one another. Confess to one another. Make your confession known to one another. Believe and pray. You are all righteous people. Get right down to it. That's what James says, the prayer of a righteous one. We are all righteous in Christ. We have been made the righteousness of God. Even though we sin, yet God looks on us with love and compassion. That's why we are told to confess our sins, and God will quickly forgive them. He will not hold back. He will not make you wait. For as you confess to the Lord and that last word of confession comes out of your mouth, God says, "Yes, for my son's sake, your sins have been forgiven." We are reminded of this truth when we pray. When we pray as Jesus taught us, and when we pray from our hearts those things that lay heavy upon them, or perhaps the joy that we may experience in our hearts at times in which we wish to praise God and give Him thanks. That's how we are taught to honor God, isn't it? To call upon His name in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, and in times of trouble. We honor God when we do so because we show to whom we trust and look to for our salvation. We don't look to others, we look to Christ who has made us one family. I know it's kind of hard in our day when it seems like people are torn apart and the country is divided and groups of people are divided from other groups of people, and we wonder to ourselves, how can this be mended? And the answer, of course, is Jesus. He is the answer. He has always been the answer. He is the final word that comes from God. And that final word is, our salvation is in Him alone. When we come to recognize that and we believe together in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then we are indeed one. That was a lesson, something the disciples had to learn. And you might even say with Joshua in the Old Testament reading for this morning, Joshua, a faithful man, faithful, always faithful. But on that day when God took some of the spirit that He had placed on Moses, God's own spirit, and placed it on 70 elders, we are told, well, there were two others who weren't with that group who also received the spirit and prophesied in the camp because they had not gone out to be with the others. And of course, we heard how Joshua spoke and asked that Moses would stop them from doing so. It just didn't seem right to Joshua that they who were in the camp should be doing the same thing that was happening at the mountain of God. And yet it does take place, and Moses correctly says to Joshua, "Are you saying that for my sake? Would that all would receive the Spirit of God and prophesy?" In those very words, Moses prophesied about the day of Pentecost. That day was fulfilled, and Peter knew it and spoke up and talked about the prophet Joel and how Joel had said that God's Spirit would be poured out on all people. And Peter said, "This is what you are witnessing today." That was good news. But we also hear a similar situation that takes place with Jesus' disciples when they come upon a man who is casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and they entreat him to come and walk with them, but he would not. And they complain to Jesus about this, and Jesus says, "Leave them alone. If they're doing it in my name, then they're not against us." Indeed, they would have no power at all if they themselves did not believe in Christ. It seems like an odd thing to find in the New Testament at this point in Jesus' ministry, and yet there it is. But we are reminded that Jesus at one point took 70 disciples, filled them with the Holy Spirit, and sent them out to proclaim the name of God, to proclaim the day of salvation, that Jesus was the Messiah, to heal the sick and to cast out demons. They return to Jesus and they tell of the wonderful things that have happened, and Jesus declares to them, "I saw Satan being cast down." We don't hear much more about that, but I guess some of them just continued on their way proclaiming that word rather than following along as the 12 did. And they came upon one of those that was still acting in that way. They felt it unseemly and somehow it was wrong, and yet Jesus corrected them and said, "No, no, no, because what they are doing in my name. And if they are doing it in my name, then they can't speak ill of me." We remember Jesus' words, the words of Scripture that remind us that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. It is God's Spirit that leads us also. It is God's Spirit that directs us into a life of following God's Word, of praying to Him daily and frequently throughout the day. We lift up our voices. Maybe just a short thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. Praising God for something wonderful perhaps that happened. Calling upon Him when things are troubling. Remembering to pray fervently without ceasing to pray. With patience. Because sometimes when we ask something from God, we don't seem to receive a response right away. Yet God would have us be patient. He's not deaf. He is not ignoring your requests. He's just waiting for that time which He sees as the right time for you. Or you may not know it, but you will when it happens. Or perhaps looking back, you might even discover, you know, God answered that prayer a long time ago, and I missed it because things just went on, and I didn't pay attention. Because that's how we are sometimes. We miss God answering the prayer. Maybe the answer isn't the way we thought it would be, or perhaps the answer was not a yes. Because perhaps maybe we asked improperly, or perhaps because God wanted us to know, as St. Paul said, the Lord told him when his answer was no to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." We remember God's graciousness toward us, and we remember that as we wait in patience for the Lord's return, that will be the day of complete healing. That will be the day in which we receive new bodies without sin, without corruption, without death. It is on that day that we will know Christ fully as He has known us. It will be a day of joy, but we pray in our prayers always, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the prayers of the church. We pray. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us,
be gracious to us.
From
all sins, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, for sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord,
to give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows, to provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you
to hear us, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your
peace. O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen. Lord be with you. Lift up, let us lift up our hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, we all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Holy. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in joy and peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. please be seated. That last verse was for weddings. That we, just so you know. Alrighty, any announcements? Cheryl, you got anything?
Yeah, but I'll let that single first.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess you'll speak on about the rally. Our next council meeting is on the 17th of October. The next voters meeting is November the 7th. We want to say happy birthday this week to Nicole Brodowski, October the 2nd, and Johnny Ruther, October the 2nd. And happy anniversary to AJ and Melissa Cormier.
Woohoo!
Also, I have a prayer of thanksgiving. My mom fell earlier this week and she really hurt herself bad. She cut an artery, a tendon, and a nerve in her wrist. We thought we were going to lose her because she was bleeding real bad, but I managed to get her to the hospital and they did emergency surgery. And she's doing real well.
Good.
She was in a lot of pain in the beginning, and then when we got home, it was her right hand, and another blessing is that she's left-handed. So, but she operates her recliner with her right hand, so my brothers and I got her a recliner that has a push button, and she was tickled to have that, and she's just all happy and cheery now. Most of the pain is gone. She does take pain medicine sometime at night, but other than that, she's good. And she's doing good. And then the other Thanksgiving is that my son, after I left her and went to him, he'd been without home health care for over a week, and his wound, he had extra wounds. And we had one when I left, he had two when I saw him, and they were infected and bad. So I got him to the doctor and got him on antibiotics. Brought him home with me, hoping I could keep him until he could go back to wound care on Tuesday. But he wasn't having it. He was going to walk home, so they took him home yesterday, but he has his antibiotics. I called him, time to take them, and so he's on the path of recovery. And when we get, hopefully, the doctor ordered some new home health care, so that should start up again. He lost his previous because he wouldn't tie his dogs up. They attacked the workers. But,
oh.
And I have to give to God because that's, you know, that's what it is. So,
he made a good deal.
But thank y'all for your prayers.
Strong woman, strong family.
So I come from a strong stock.
That's right. And she's 91.
She'll be 97 October the 30th.
I tell you.
And how old is Johnny now?
93.
No, Johnny's 97. He'll be 98 on October 2nd.
I'm sorry.
She's thinking of herself.
Yeah. That's all right. You're not 93 yet. Okay, we have the final tally for the or the final money for the silent auction, and we have an additional $88. So we now have $1,610. Woo-hoo! Come on, y'all did good. We thank God. We praise God for all the blessings because it was totally a blessed day. Also on the 9th, we will be having the district retreat streaming over at Caroline's house, and we're looking forward to that. And then the 16th, we will be having the rally host Midcoast Zone. We will be hosting the Midcoast Zone rally. And the ladies, do you have the butterflies to look at today? We're supposed to be looking at the butterflies to see how we're going to attach them, possibly magnets. So we need to kind of gather for a few minutes and discuss that. Yeah, we're going to do soup luncheon on the 16th for the Midcoast rally.
Anybody wants to make soup?
Yeah. But we're looking forward to a great day.
Thank you. Anything else? You got anything, Steve? Nothing? Okay. Well, go in peace, serve the Lord.